Blog Talk Radio.
Exploration. Love. Healing. Magic. You've entered a very special place where anything can happen. Stay inside your ride, but be prepared to expand your consciousness. Welcome to the Psychic Funhouse.
All right. Welcome to another exciting edition of your favorite psychic show, the Psychic Funhouse. We are going to have another thematic episode based on the wonderful qualities of this month, Spooktober, as we like to sometimes call it. And we'll be talking about the spiritual power of masks tonight, as well as taking your calls for some readings. So my name is Lawrence Birch, and I am your co-host. I am also joined by my lovely co-host, the one, the only, the psychic to the stars, Mr. Michael J. Espinoza. How are you today, Michael?
Bonjour. Hello, Mr. Lawrence, the shamanic Birch, and all of our guests. Hello, I'm well, thank you. Pleasure to be here.
As always. Wow. Yeah, and how was your week, my friend?
I had a very good week, thank you. I went to go see Hamilton, the show, the musical.
Ooh.
That was really good.
Yeah.
So if you ever have the opportunity to see it, please do. It's so good. And yeah. So, and projects are getting done. Crossing the Moth, praise Jesus, the baby Jesus. Thank you. So I am feeling good. Yeah, moving through life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing clients.
I'd like to hear that.
Yeah, feeling blessed. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. You getting some fall weather down there? Still pretty toasty.
We are. It's so nice. We had the ground was moist this morning. It didn't rain. It was just kind of
moist.
Dewy all day. But it was nice to wake up, and it was cool and dewy, and it was a nice change other than the normal 90 degree weather. So, yep, grateful for that.
Very good. Yeah.
How was your week?
Yeah.
Sir?
Well, it was good. It was full. My sister and her husband came down to do some maintenance at my mom's place and talk about future plans for her property. So that was good to get to see them and hang out and catch up and watch them help beautify my mom's property. So that was good. And we're having nice fall weather up here, a little drier than we're used to. It hasn't rained in too long. But we're getting those warm days and cool nights. So the trees are really putting on an amazing, beautiful display. So that's been really lovely. So very good.
Very
stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. Lots of gratitude to go around. Yeah. So I bet you're wondering what we're going to be talking about tonight, aren't you?
I am. What are we going to be discussing? The shamanic
birth. Well, Mr. Psychic to the Stars, I'm so glad you asked. this is October, Spooktober, as we like to call it around the Psychic Funhouse, which means we have a theme. Last week you led our discussion about ghosts, and we had some really great input from our listeners about different ghost stories they had. So that was fun. And this week, I thought we would talk about masks and by extension, perhaps costumes. Masks is a really fascinating subject, something we could actually spend a lot of time on, if you think about it, because of how pervasive the concept of masks are. Of course, we're not just talking about literal masks, which have all sorts of different aspects to them in meaning and significance, but metaphorical masks, right? The masks that we put on when we're out in public and the ones that we take off when we're alone or with people we're comfortable feeling vulnerable around. So I thought we could have a stimulating discussion about masks since it seems appropriate to Halloween that's coming up in just a couple weeks. So there you have it. How's that sound?
I love it.
Yeah. And before we get started today, I just got passed a note from our lawyers down in the basement, which is where we keep them. Just keep an eye on them. Down in the dungeon, unless they've done something bad. Basement. That we have a disclaimer, which is this show. And all of its agents are here for entertainment purposes only. If you are in need of professional services of any kind, be they biological, neurological, or otherwise, please avail yourself of those professional services. We're just amateur entertainers here on the Psychic Funhouse, so we don't give any legal, financial, personal, medical, or other kinds of advice.
No, absolutely not.
We stay in our lane. That's right.
Exactly.
Yes. Of Zave. So masks. So, I think maybe the first thing to chat a little bit about before we go to the phones is the elephant in the room. Which is masks that got worn and are still being worn during the pandemic, which is not really quite over yet, even though we'd like it to be. Right? So we had the coronavirus show up, and we got recommended to wear masks, all sorts of different kinds. And, the masks were intended to help protect us from each other, protect us from the coronavirus. And so the intent behind those masks was actually, in a very real way, survival, right? It was a way to hopefully keep us all safe and keep us from getting sick and transmitting the virus. The controversy arose, of course, when the wearing of masks and everything having to do with the virus and then later the vaccine became politicized. But just from a practical viewpoint, when you wear a mask like we were doing, whether they were the cloth masks that eventually got taken off the list or paper masks or the more serious masks that filtered things more effectively, it hides your face. And so that became a real challenge when we're already self-isolating to not get to see and experience people's expressions, to know if they were smiling or laughing or just what they look like. And it created a further distance. So that was a big challenge. The other more longstanding, or I would say traditional aspect of masks are masks that are worn for spiritual reasons, right? And so when you think about masks in a spiritual context, you might think about wearing a mask for healing purposes, right? Some masks have been around for hundreds and hundreds of years, and they are brought out for special occasions to either perform healing rituals or to heal the wearer of the mask. Masks are often used to communicate with the dead, people who have passed on. Masks are used in a wide variety of rituals to transform the wearer and the occasion into something beyond just everyday ordinary reality and into something that is much more profound and has a much deeper context. But masks can also be fun, right? They're not all about survival or about ritual. You know, this upcoming Halloween, I'm sure there will be trick-or-treaters all over the states hoping to get some candy scores. Apparently candy has gone up, like many things have during inflation, by as much as 30%. So there may be some black market candy available just while you're trick-or-treating. So make sure to vet.
I know. Candy corn has gone up 27%. That's sad.
Terrible. There's going to be knockoff candy corn of it. Be more wax than candy. So when you think about masks, my good friend, Mr. Michael J. Espinosa, what comes to mind for you? Are you a mask wearer? Do you have masks that you take on and take off easily?
Well, what comes to mind for me is, you know, I think we all wear masks in terms of how we identify ourselves. You know, or maybe a religious organization, through the work that you do, through your name, through your gender, through your ethnicity. I think we all wear different masks. I think they become an identity. Maybe I can call it an identity. And I think we're very multifaceted in this way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the bigger masks are work that we do, you know, because it identifies, or we identify with that work in many ways. And because we're at our jobs for 8 hours, 12 hours a day, and that becomes a big part of who we are. And when we step away from a job, we get fired, we leave a job. You know, a lot of people struggle with that. When, for whatever reason, they leave that job, there is a big struggle there to find a new job. And also, and if you change industries, to find a new identity with that industry. And I'll use myself as an example. When I left the fashion industry from the East Coast and moved out to the West Coast to transition to a full-time healer, that was a big transition for me. And it was interesting trying to transition into a new identity of being a healer. And so I think these masks are important for us. And I think it's interesting around Halloween where we can become somebody different for a day, for a few hours, however long that is, that we're in that costume, right? We can become something different. And I think the possibilities of that are fun. So, yeah, and that's what I have to say about masks.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? I mean, we have to wear masks, right? We can't go around showing our true self 100% of the time. It's just it's just not possible.
Right.
I think the you raised some interesting points. I think the challenge arises when we're not sure if you know, if we're wearing a mask or if this is really who we are now, or if the mask, you know, instead of us wearing the mask, you could say the mask wears us, right? It becomes something that now has more control over us than we do over it, you know, which happens all through, you know, in both our public and private lives, right? But I, you know, masks are incredibly powerful. They're so transformative. You know, you think of when, you know, the King Tut exhibit toured the U.S. and I remember going to see it with my classmates. I don't want to date myself, but I was in elementary school then, and getting to see the funerary mask of King Tut. You know, the Boy King, as he was called, because he died quite young. You know, all the splendor and energy and effort that was put into giving this person a proper send-off into the spirit world. You know, it's magnificent, really pretty incredible. You know, then there's that whole other aspect of performance. You know, masks were used and still are in theater, right, to indicate characters or traits to hide behind. And like you were saying, you know, you can use masks to both reveal and to cover up. You know, they can show us something about our work life, and they can also give us something to hide behind so we can have a professional career. So there's a lot of different really fascinating aspects to them, for sure. What do you think about going to the phones, my friend? You ready to do that?
I'm ready to go to the phones.
All right. All right. Well, if you have any thoughts to share about masks tonight, we're eager to hear your ideas or experiences. Maybe you had a favorite mask you wore to a costume party that got pretty good results, or there's some other aspect that we haven't covered yet about masks you might want to bring up. So we're going to check the phone lines and see who's available. We've got a caller. Very good. All right. Well, this is area code 703, and welcome. Yeah, welcome to the Psychic Funhouse. You're on Michael Lawrence. What's your name and where are you from?
My name is Andrea. I'm calling from Virginia.
Hi, Andrea. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Are you wearing a mask tonight?
I do remember. No, but I do remember making paper mache ones, you know, for a school skit one time. That was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those can be fun. Making life masks are pretty amazing too, or just facial masks, taking the contour. Very cool. Yeah. What can we help you with? You have a question tonight for us, or?
I do. I actually had yesterday. I had a third interview with a company, and then I have a phone interview with another company on Monday. So, do you think that one of these jobs will come through?
Let's find out.
Can I ask, can you give me the names of the companies or the initials of
the
companies, the two of them?
Yeah, the first one is PCCW, and the second one is PCI.
So which is the one you already had an interview with?
Yeah, the PCCW. I had a third interview with them.
Okay. And then the PCI, what was that again?
That's a, it's a construction company. It's a first-time phone interview on Monday.
Oh, it's going to be a phone. Okay.
Yeah.
So let me look at.
So, Michael, while you're tuning in, do you mind if I jump in?
Go for it.
Andrea, you know what came up for me was that the company that you've already interviewed with is the most likely one for you to find employment. I think they have a definite need for somebody with your skills and experience, and so their perspective on you is that you're a really good fit for their company. This isn't to say that the company that you're interviewing with on Monday isn't going to hire you either, but I think you're also going to find the company that you've already been talking to just a much better fit for you in terms of the culture of the company. And also what I'm also getting is that they have maybe either a better benefits package or commutes better. Something about them is just much more practical in terms of how they're going to work out for you in both the short term and long term. Does that make any sense?
The commute's a little further out, but the benefits are ridiculous. They're amazing. So
yeah, mm-hmm. That's good. That's what you want.
Yeah, she had me do an Excel test, so I don't know how I did on that one. I mean, I assume I did pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you know, they felt like pretty much everything they threw at you, you handled pretty competently. So they're just going to kind of decide between you and another candidate who I don't think they're as qualified as you are in terms of your skill set, but they have a connection to the company. So I think you've got a lot of advocates on your side, though. So
it's funny you say that because she said the next interview is with the VP and some team members, and she's only going to bring back two people for that interview.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I wouldn't put all your eggs in one basket just yet. It's always good to have a backup plan. With
right,
one
right.
Day.
Oh, I have a backup plan. I'm working at a retail store, which sucks.
Okay. That's true. Well, that's good. That's good you're important.
Well, I lost my job about a month ago. I worked for a mortgage company, lost my job, and so I took whatever I could take just so I didn't have to go on unemployment. And working in a retail store, I have to work all these nights and weekends. So that's my backup plan, which totally it sucks. So that's why I'm just like doing – yeah, that's why – yeah, not for long. I don't see myself working there much longer. I think one of these are going to go through.
Yeah. Well, good for you for being resourceful. Yeah. That's
gotta be.
Yeah. Well, let's see if Michael has something to offer. Michael?
I do have something to offer.
All right.
Hi, Andrea.
Hi.
So the thing I was getting, Andrea, I keep getting PCI is the one that you're going to work at. They both feel good, but one of the things I kept feeling with PCI was that was the one that was going to really, like, come from behind. It looks like PCW is right now at the forefront, but all of a sudden, like, PCI is going to come from behind and offer you a job. And it feels like feels like it's going to be a good fit for you.
They're also 4 miles from my house. The other one's a little further.
Yeah. Well, I kept seeing PCI.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think they will offer you a job. So maybe you can hold on a little bit and wait.
Well,
PCW
the other one...
something.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. The other one, even though they offer you one, it takes a month to finish the process because the company's in Hong Kong. So... somebody could suit me up between that and that month. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I can't really wait another month to start working because I can't do this retail job anymore. It sucks. So.
Okay. Well, I think PCI is going to come from behind.
Okay.
Bring up the rear, and they're going to offer you a position. So good luck to you.
Okay. Thank you. I'll definitely let you know if something happens next week. I'll definitely let you know and keep you. I'll let you know when what happens.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good luck.
Thank you. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks for calling in, Andrea. Good luck. Okay. Well, looks like she got two different answers, so we'll see. She'll give a call back and let us know.
Yeah.
Did you ever make a paper mache mask like she was talking about at the beginning? You ever done anything like that?
No. No, I never did paper mache mask.
Paper mache. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When my mother was still a dentist, she had an account at a joke shop, and they had these amazing Hollywood level realistic scary masks that you could go in and get since the man who owned the joke shop was getting free dental work. And so we took advantage as a family and got all sorts of crazy masks. I had a cone head mask and what else did I have? I had like a Tor Johnson, which if you're a fan of horror films, look like just a big, scary mask, bald-headed guy. That was good for a few frights. But the one that was really scary was what I called the old man mask, which had just this nasty matted hair and just a really gruesome, frightful-looking visage. And one Halloween, I dressed up in that in an old jean jacket and went around and knocked on a door. And there's a girl about my age. I was a teenager, and she opened it up, and she didn't really see me, I think, because I was in the shadow. And then she went to get some candy for me. When she came back, I moved into the shadow, and she just about dropped the bowl and screamed. It was great.
That's funny.
Yeah. Well, you know, you want to have a reaction, right? Masks are worn for a reason. They communicate things. All right. Are we ready for another caller? What do you think, my friend?
I'm ready for another caller. Let's do it.
All right. Let's do it. This is area code 678. Hi there. You're on the Psychic Funhouse with Michael Lawrence. What's your name and where are you calling from, please?
Hello?
Hello.
Hello?
You're on.
Hi.
Yes, you're here. You're
How
in.
Are you guys?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
We're good. How are you?
Can you hear me? Great.
We can.
I'm doing fine. Thank you. What'd you say?
Who are you? What's your name?
Hello? Kathy. Oh, I'm sorry. Kathy.
Kathy. All right. Kathy with a C. Kathy with a K.
Kathy with a K.
Kathy with a K. Okay. Welcome to the show. Do you have any stories about masks? Are you going to wear a costume for Halloween this year, Kathy?
No, maybe. Maybe.
Okay.
I always go maybe. So we'll see. I haven't decided.
Options are on the table. That's good. What can we do for you?
Yes. Question on relationships. My ex came over yesterday. We texted back and forth, and then he just happened to show up at my home. And we've been talking. Do you see us getting back together or no? What do you see around it?
Would you mind sharing his initial, first name initial?
A.
A? A is in Abraham? Okay.
Uh-huh.
I have some information.
All right, Michael.
This is Michael. This is Michael.
Hi, Michael.
And
hello.
The thing I'm getting is it feels kind of like you need to... the energy feels good. It feels like this is possible, but you need to kind of figure out if you want to move into this direction, whether you want to or not. And I'm so in that sense, it feels like you're right on the fence here. Like I don't know whether I want to go forward with him or not. Do you understand that?
So it would, yeah. So, yeah.
Well,
so it'll be my decision, and if I want to go forward, but he wants to go forward,
yeah.
Because there is some, yeah. You're literally
that's
dead
what
on.
I'm getting. Like when you decide to say yes, I'm ready to kind of move back into a relationship with him. You know,
mm-hmm.
the stars are aligning there, and it feels kind of like, okay, you will move, move back together again, moving in. But it just to rekindle the relationship, I'll say it that way. Yeah, that's what it feels like.
But it's
kind of like the ball's in your court. You need to figure out if you want to do this or not.
That is so true because, yeah, something happened yet, and I was just like, I don't know if I want to do this. Does he really want to move forward, like at 100%? Because this just literally came out of the blue.
It's almost kind of like he's testing you. I kind of get like he's coming back and he's like, well, I don't have anybody right now, so let me see if Kathy wants to kind of rekindle this. So it feels like the ball's in your court here. That's why it feels like, this is up to you. The thing that I get as I'm looking at this more, it feels like you really need to reevaluate what you're looking for in a relationship with him and with anybody else. You know, your guide just saying, you know, do you really want to move back into this relationship with A and kind of go back into the same routines, same patterns, or do you want something different out of this? And I kind of get the latter. You do want something different. It doesn't feel like it's going to change much.
Him changing much?
Well, it could be you too, I'm not seeing who that energy is attached to right now, kind of like the energy for both of you, the relationship. It feels like it's going to fall back into the same pattern it was before.
That's where I'm contemplating. You're very good. He has a communication problem, and...
Hmm.
He can't communicate. Can't communicate. And that is just, I don't understand that.
Yeah.
So will
he ever
learn to communicate?
And
it's
not good, especially when you're not a psychic, right? You're not reading the energy all the time. And you don't want to work that hard. It's like, come on, A. Speak up, say something.
Well, that's where, because you're right, because literally I'm like, we need to have a sit-down conversation about this. I need to discuss it with you. And he just, even just he can't communicate. And that is, and I'm a communicator. And that's the only piece, but it's a huge piece that is just like, I don't know if I want to go back and do it. So that's so you're dead on.
And do you want to work that hard again? I mean, it just, so I think this is where, the ball's in your court. You need to really think about, okay, do you want to kind of go back into what you were dealing with?
Do you see him reaching out again soon?
because I'm doing nothing.
Yeah, it feels like he will. I think it's going to take him a little bit of time. I think he's apprehensive about entering into the relationship with you. I think he's like, oh, no, what is she going to do? Is she going to call me? Is she not going to call me? Like, he's apprehensive. He just, I feel that he wants it, but how he feels.
Yeah.
So.
I agree with you totally. I mean, it's like you're in my head, and it's I don't know what to do. I think he's a really good guy. Right.
Yeah.
He's a really good guy. He has some issues that he's dealing with, and that brings him down a little bit, but he just can't communicate his feelings. And it's just like, it's so odd because he's a counselor, and it's like, how can you counsel but you can't?
Wow.
He cannot talk. Just, you know, this is what I want. This is what you want. Can we meet in the middle? This is how I feel. You did this? No, he will not. Now, he'll do it behind the screen, meaning the text, but I don't do that. I will only do it at 1% level. I need a face-to-face type conversation. But it's his insecurity, I think. I don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's a good thing you're reevaluating.
Okay. Anything else you see or the other gentleman see?
Lauren?
Yeah. Well, you know, I pretty much am just going to end up emphasizing what Michael was talking about. You know, Kathy, my initial sense is that this is, you know, you and A getting back together would be for comfort reasons, which, you know, both of you are in agreement that that's what it's about. That's fine. But I think the growth that needed to happen while both of you were apart hasn't really taken place. For him, I think there's been some perspective and understanding on your part about things, but I also think you still have some work to do about that before you get into a relationship. You know, the other point that came up was just that, you know, the reasons that ended your relationship, if they are not being addressed in good faith, not effort being made, you know, again, on both of your parts, then you're going to end up reliving the same experience, which I don't think you want. And honestly, I don't think he wants it either. But I do think he's kind of going through what Michael talked about, which is, you know, he's a really lonely person, which, you know, it's kind of ironic, like you were saying, in that he's a counselor and he works on all sorts of issues like this with people, but this is often where people find themselves. You know, they go into professions
right,
to heal themselves, right? I think he wants to put more of an emphasis on you in the relationship, but he's not sure how to do that, right? So,
oh my God, you guys are so dead on.
It's a lot of responsibility to put on you to be the one who, you know, ultimately is responsible for major decisions in a relationship, and you know, I think there's kind of a clash of the titans here in the sense that there's a passivity from both of you that creates this null space in the relationship where it gets really stagnant in areas because neither one of you, I think you tell yourselves you don't want to hurt the other person, but then what ends up happening is what you really don't want to do is take a risk and be vulnerable. And so you end up at the end of these conflicts, finger pointing and getting really upset with each other, you know. But what's really happening is you're both scared of this intimacy, and you have different ways to manifest. Right. So.
Oh my God, you guys you're so right. He's more scary than me. I've got unscared a little bit, but I'm okay, like you said, making major decisions or something like that. But he has to communicate his feelings to me. And he just can't. He just, let's sit down, how do you feel, where do you think this is going? You know, a grown-up conversation. You know, he can't discuss it. Or he gets ADHD or crazy, and he has to move around, and he can't look me in the eye. And it's just like, oh, my God, I'm about to go insane. Just express how you feel.
I think, you know, what my suggestion is just a suggestion, because remember, we're just entertainers, if not, have him come over when you're ready and have a sit down discussion with him and talk about some of these issues that Michael and I are bringing up and just lay it out and see how he responds. And if he's, you know, because it's one thing to have, we all have our issues. And but if we're not aware enough of them, or not willing to work on them, or we can't hear what our partner or potential partner's needs are enough to get outside of ourselves and try to meet them if it's realistic, then there's really no point in going forward, you know, whether it's a friendship or a more intimate relationship, because the work just isn't going to take place. You know, it shouldn't all be about, you know, feeling disappointment or pressured or unhappy because you know you're not able to get your needs met with this other person, and you have to be the one that, you know, is constantly leading them back to what you feel is important and critical in the relationship. But that we, you know, maybe not all the time at every moment shared by both partners, but there should be some buy-in from both people. And just, you know, you can love, and that's the difficult part, right? You can love somebody, you know, even unconditionally, but that doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to work out or be compatible in a relationship for a variety of different reasons. And sometimes it can just be one thing, but that one thing can be a real deal break. And I, you know,
go ahead.
Yeah, have that conversation.
That is so bizarre that you said.
Yeah.
Have the talk, because I did say I'm going to see if he's going to call me. He texts me and stuff. I'm going to give him about a week or two to see how, what he's going to do, etc. And I said to myself, I would just go, okay, hey, can you come over for dinner? And just try to get him to talk, because I'm not wasting time. We're both older. I'm not wasting time if this can't work. And that's the only thing. He just needs to communicate his feelings. He can communicate other stuff, but his feelings about me and what he wants, he can't. It's just, and I know what he wants. I know he wants me. I know he wants a relationship. I know he wants it to work, and I know he knows that if it's, this is the last chance, okay, this is it. You have to do it right. And I know he's maybe feeling a little bit of pressure of, how do I do it? I can't do it, but I need to do this. Do you see that?
Well, you know, again, I think, you know, just what Michael was saying and what I brought up, you know, you come to a place where you're not going to do the work for him, and he needs to demonstrate that that's important enough for him to at least attempt to meet your needs and give him the opportunity, you know, to step up to the plate. That's what this other meeting could be about. And don't finish his sentences for him or give him an out, you know, let him, you know, demonstrate what his priorities are, and you know, and see what happens. You know, that's what I would say. Okay.
Okay, that's, you guys are dead on. I will listen back to the recording. But thank you for the advice, and thanks for showing me my instincts is right about what I'm thinking and what needs to happen. And that's literally going to be a deal breaker. If he can't do it, and I won't totally get totally involved until I see him trying to do it. As long as he's trying to do it, and, you know, little by little, that's my expectation. You can't go from 0 to 100. You know, go 0 to 10, get comfortable. Go 10 to 11, just show me you're trying, and I would be okay. But you got to try. And if you can't, it's a deal breaker for us. I won't. So I'm protected until this happens. And we either move forward and probably will be together forever, or we're not going to move.
I think that sounds pretty realistic. Let us know what happens, Kathy. Good luck with everything, and thanks for
having me.
Thank you.
Have a good time.
Good luck.
All right.
Good luck.
Take care.
Yeah. Be sure to follow us here on Blog Talk Radio so you know when we have all of our episodes, and you can download them. You can also follow us on Amazon, Apple, Google, and Spotify platforms, and support us there and follow us and bring us with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. It's a good reminder for people so we can keep them in the loop.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Are we ready to unmask another caller?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay. This is area code 714. Hi there. You're on the Psychic Funhouse with Michael and Lawrence. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello. There you are.
Hi, can you hear me now? Hi, here I am. Hi, gentlemen. It's Mai again.
Hi, Mai.
Hi.
I spoke with you guys about, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago.
Okay. Remind us where you're calling
from.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm calling from California, from Anaheim,
California.
California. Yes.
Oh, Anaheim.
Hi, Mai.
Hi. I had missed a couple of the shows because I'd been traveling and things have really shifted and moved in my life. So
okay.
I wish I had caught I think it was the one after mine, something about love and self-love. I was listening to that podcast over and over again. And masks are very interesting to, you know, discuss the topic that you are talking about. That we wear a mask and we don't even know it. And that I think that sometimes people never take off their mask, even in private, or they wear different masks with different people in their lives. Yeah, so I think that that's hard. And masks can fool you, you know. Masks can they look like they're a sincere and nice person, and behind there, they're just, you know, definitely different intentions. So,
yeah, it's always revealing when somebody takes off a mask and only to find out that they've got another mask or a whole set of masks underneath that mask, right? Yeah. Awesome.
Well, do you remember there was a Twilight Zone show about the people that had the pig face or the pig snout?
Mm-hmm. It's about beauty, that's called.
Yeah, it's about beauty, and it's the same thing. And I'm at this stage in my life where, like, I want to consume and buy things, but it doesn't add to my life. So I'm wearing a mask myself, and I'm having to look at that, you know?
Yeah, well, I think you know, since you were gracious enough to share your location, we can't bypass the connection between Anaheim and the greatest place on earth, you know, which is full of people wearing masks and costumes on every level, all over the place. Disneyland, of course. So, yeah.
Yeah. And how desperate we are searching for connection and to be seen, but without our mask, but we're so afraid.
Right. The paradox. Very true. Yeah.
Awesome.
We all want to be in Never Never Land, but we don't want to be hurt, so we keep the masks on. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and so, I was thinking about this specifically. Our society has put women that are older to wear a young mask. Mm-hmm. That's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, older women in my family are often, you know, will remark about how they almost wear a mask of invisibility, because once you're not seen as desirable by our society standards anymore as a female, and that can happen really early, unfortunately, you're not really visible to males, especially in heterosexual context, but just in general. So there's a lot, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's really interesting, because I'm at a stage in my life where I ask myself, and I have to be true to myself or continue to wear it and carry that burden.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I actually had a question, because I wanted to contribute to the conversation, because I think it's really, really important. And you guys are so funny.
Yeah.
I'm like enjoying the banter back and forth. It's hilarious. Here's my question. The last time I had asked you about a particular friend of mine who had an addiction, I ended up helping him move, so he's no longer in the state, but we're still very tied to each other. But I am getting a little bit of distance from him, and I'm noticing when we talk, like Michael has said, like it's an empty drum, you know, mm-hmm. and I have that occurrence, like I'm experiencing him when he's all about himself, and knowing that he's not going to be able to, he says he wants to, but I don't know. That's another mask, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And my question was, you said that I was going to meet someone. Is there like a time frame? Because like right now I'm in the breaking off with someone, but I'm a little feeling sad.
Because you're ending or going through the relationship?
Yeah, and just not really sure that, you know, like after something like that happens, I'm not really sure that I'm meant for a relationship, you know, but I don't want to put that out in the universe either, because I know I'd like to fall in love again. I mean, for lack of a better word or description.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was hoping you'd give me like a time frame.
What did I tell you the last time? I don't even remember. Or what did we tell you?
Just that, that wasn't the person, and your answer to me was yes. Like
yes,
he's coming.
You're
going to
meet somebody else.
Yes, but no, like. Time frame or anything like that.
Okay. Let's see what I can get here. My. Is that right?
Yes.
So what I'm getting is it feels like here, there's components. This first component is you need to move past this person that you're currently breaking off with, because it feels like they're still energetic connections to this person. So once you're like, it's already starting, but it needs to finish completely. And you know, once you let this person go, completely and fully, you can move on. And then there's space for somebody new. But they're also saying that you need to really focus on feeling you are worthy of a relationship.
Yeah.
Like to do some work there, right? Some self-love, some self-esteem, and really own, you know what? I deserve a relationship. I deserve to be in love, and I deserve to be happy, and I can have this, and I want this. And you need to fully believe that. Because right now they're showing me an energy of sadness with you, and it feels like that energy is underlying what you that statement you made about believing that or coming thinking about maybe you're not meant to have a relationship in this lifetime. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm working on it, and some days I feel great. Like, I'm on top of the world, and I feel light. And then he calls me or texts me, and then all of a sudden I feel my energy just kind of, like, leaking out. And then I start getting worried about what he's, you know, gotten himself into. And then, you know, like, I can tell when he's been drinking or thinking he's going to lose his job and he's going to live on the streets. And, you know, I have a very great imagination, so it usually goes to, like, the worst. But I try to tell myself, like, this is an adult. This is not his first drunken mishap. That he'll pick himself up when he's ready, and he really doesn't feel like he has a problem.
Yeah.
So...
which is a problem.
Like, but when you, for everyone but him.
Right.
Do you think it's more of a cutting him out of my life and just being like, you know, I just need space from you?
Well, that's a decision and a process that you're going to have to go through. You know, it's up to you. You know, can you have a relationship with him and be friends? Or can you let him go and say, that's it, I have to move on. I care about you, but unfortunately this is not going to work, and I'm going to move on. I need to move on. I need to make room for somebody else.
Okay.
And remember, too, like one of the things I think about a lot is, you know, we think about, you know, I should just... turn like that, you know, and let him go. I washed him out of my hair, that commercial, and I moved on, you know, bring on the new one. And it's not that. It's a process, you know. Anytime we have to let go of somebody, it hurts. It's painful, especially if we've cared for them greatly and we were in love with them. But we're finally seeing and understanding, okay, this is just not working. And I've stayed here long enough, and it's time for me to move on. And it's a process, and it's painful. And, yeah, some days it's sad. It hurts. Oh, my God, am I ever going to find somebody? And then other days, it's good. I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
I'm moving forward. Bring him on.
Yeah.
He's my man.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I washed my hair today. About some makeup. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't. You know, I think it's a process. And so it takes a while. And I think that when you start moving towards where you really want to be and you're having more good days than bad days, fantastic, right? And until then, you got to fake it until you make it. You know, even though we don't... and I think that's part of that process, even though... we might not feel right now when you just break up with somebody, let somebody go, that, oh, I'm going to meet somebody. It takes a while to feel that. And so you just have to keep reminding yourself, no, this is what I want, and I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
Can you see if he's just going to be okay, like, as a human being? I don't want anyone to suffer, but I also know that he's making decisions to create the path that how he wants it. He's getting the results from the actions that he's producing, from the choices that he's making, you know.
Right.
I know that intellectually, but emotionally I don't want to see anybody hurt.
Right. Absolutely. And that's very loving and compassionate of you. But right now it's kind of like, that's none of your business anymore. It's kind of like, you got to move on.
Got it.
You know, and the best thing is, it's just releasing them with love. And just thank you for the time we had. This is not working for me. I have to let you go. And I hope you find what you're looking for. And that's it. And you got to move on, you know. And remember, when we come to this planet, when we're born into this body, we all have a dharma. And so we all have a path. And we choose that path before we come into the body. And some of it's painful. But those are his lessons. It's not your responsibility to absolve him, relieve him from lessons in his life. That's his job. That's his responsibility. You need to let that go. Stop holding on to that.
Okay.
Yeah. You got to find another man. That's a job and right there.
I was hoping he would find me.
No.
Well, look, you know what? Thank you. Spirit just told me, it's kind of like, look how concerned you are about this guy.
Yeah.
That you're so concerned, you're afraid to let him go of what could happen, right? So how could there be any room for somebody else right now?
Ooh.
You're right. Okay.
Yeah, you know, the new one would be just like a distraction.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah. And that's not fair.
No.
That's not fair. It's like what people say, it's 6 months for every year that you're married to get over somebody. So.
Yeah. Well, that's
what therapy
kind of
says.
General. Yeah. That's a general. We can get over stuff faster if we want to.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm done
with
the suffering.
You don't have to stay stuck here. Yeah.
I don't want to stay stuck here.
No. Why?
Awesome.
And also, too, why do you want to take on the issues of his addiction? Yeah.
I was told before, like, we have some sort of karmic tide, and I was, like, neglected him in a previous life that we shared, so I had a lot of guilt, but it wasn't something that I could control. My psychic said that it was a really emotionally and physically abusive relationship, and he was a child that I neglected. So, and I'm like,
but
I'm done
in
now.
This lifetime. Yeah, exactly. You didn't do it in this lifetime, and so now you can let him, you can release him with love and compassion.
Yeah.
I care for you. I love you. I'm sorry you're struggling, but this is not working for me anymore. So I'm going to release you with love and wish you all the best. Yeah.
Okay.
Maya's out. Go get my hair done.
Yes. Yes.
Get me
Mike
a new
dropped.
Wig and
Elvis
move on.
Has left the building.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Get yourself a new wig, honey. Move on. So anyway,
awesomeness.
That's all I have to say about that.
Lauren? Okay.
how could I possibly follow up after that conversation?
Right? After a wig, change my wig? Come on.
Yeah. Well, I think you need to ask yourself what you want, Mai. You know, what do you want? You know, do you want to continue to be this person's enabler and to not have your needs met and to be, you know, on the roller coaster of, you know, disappointment and then, oh, I just got tossed a bone here and now I'm back in and invested and then back down into the disappointment, you know. And I get that you don't want this person to suffer or, you know, but they're already suffering, you know. And I think, you know, people aren't addicts or substance abusers in a vacuum. They draw other people in to support their process because that's just how it is. And you need to be really brutally honest with yourself about how much you're involved in that process and what it's been like for you, you know, to be, you know, affected by it mentally, emotionally, all the rest of it. And it can be really difficult to cut somebody off no matter what the circumstances are. But when somebody's, you know, having a relationship with a substance, that's their first love. And that's what their priority is. And you're never going to, you know, match or beat that, that substance until the person decides that they really don't need it anymore and don't want it. Right. And that's just the beginning. Then they have to look at the behaviors that led them down that road in the first place and, you know, figure out however they're going to do it. And there's ways to do it to get, you know, to be in recovery and to walk away from all that. And that often means, you know, almost always, you know, abandoning not just the lifestyle, but the people that were a part of that lifestyle. And that can be the hardest thing because you've got people that don't want you to change. And I'm sure the pushback from him is going to be along the same lines. Yeah.
Yeah. I talked to him today and I said something and he said, you know, you make it sound so harsh. And I said, well, you know, you think you're on the upswing, but it's just another layer with that still crap underneath that you haven't dealt with. So it's just going to come back. It's going to keep coming back until you deal with the issues that you need to deal with. So.
Mm-hmm.
And that, because he's not in my face, he's not even in my state, made it a little bit easier.
Well, but sure.
Yes, yeah. You're both very right. And I have to wash my hands physically, emotionally, spiritually, and say, you know, I've done the best that I could, and now it's you got to carry yourself. So, yeah.
And, you know, he's like most people with issues like this, and I'm not saying any of this without having compassion for this person. It's just I've been down this road with people, and I just know what the pattern's like, you know. It's rampant all over, unfortunately. He'll find somebody else, the caretaker role or enabler or whatever into him, you know, and then he'll, you know, or maybe this will be the wake up call where he finally says, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. You know, look at what I've lost and you know, but that's all his stuff. And I think when people are in these relationships, they feel like their worth is completely about how much they're able to do for this person. That's where you're drawing your identity and your self-worth from is, you know, what this person is telling you about yourself. And, you know, you're as much of an addict as he is, maybe not with the substance, but the conditions. And I'm sure you got trained to be this person long before you even showed up, right? Because this is how these patterns work. So you're not going to be able to deal with your stuff until you let him go to deal with his stuff. And make no mistake, you know, it's great that you're being affirmative with us and saying all these things, you know, you're going to do this and wash, and it's good that you separated him physically from you, you know, all that. You're still in a, yeah. in a process of recovery yourself, and you need to be honest with yourself that that's going to take some time too, and you need to give it the time and energy that it needs and not think that you're going to be able to turn on a dime. And that's why, I'm really hesitant to encourage you to get into a romantic relationship anytime soon, because you need to really understand yeah. what you've been through on your own and really recalibrate what love means to you. Because right now, it's maybe, you know, not the healthiest understanding you have. And I don't mean that in any judgmental way. It's just
No, it's I sometimes you need the brutal, honest truth, because, you know, everyone else says that I'm a good person and everything, but no one has said, you know, you need to fix what's broken inside of you.
Yeah,
that's
you
true.
Know, well, you know, and to put it really blankly, you're fucked up. I mean, all of us are fucked up in some way, right? We all have different
right.
aspects that are, you know, in need of some repair or revision or work. Otherwise, none of us would be here. If we were perfect, then what would be the point? So there's no shade in that. But then your journey becomes, okay, without this person in my life, who am I? And then who do I want to be? And what's important to me? What are my priorities? And what do I want to do? And how much am I willing to work on healing myself to get to a place where, you know, what really matters to me is clear, and what I'm able to do is communicate that to people who will be reciprocal and return that love to me that I've been giving away for free, basically, to this other person. It's like a bottomless
right.
pit. Never.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to earn all that. You have to buy all that back. Nobody else can do that for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, you will.
Well, thank you
will.
Very
You're
much.
On a journey, right? You're welcome.
Keep up the great
Thanks
work.
For getting the call. Yeah, give me the update. And that was great stuff about Mass. You really contributed a lot to the flow of the conversation. So thank you for that, too.
Yeah, not a problem. That was important. I wish I had called in on the self-love one. That one was, like, deep.
Yeah. Well, we talk about love a lot on the show, so you'll have another opportunity and another version.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much, and you gentlemen have a great day, a night, and a great weekend.
You too. Keep taking care of yourself. Let
you
us know
too.
How you
Thanks
I will.
For calling in again.
I will. Thank you so much.
Be well.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's go.
As always, my friend, as always.
Yeah.
So now that we've reached the end of the show, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
Go to my website, michaeljespinoza.com. You can connect me through my website. How about you, sir?
You can give me a call or text, 541-344-7534. You can email me at givingtree@earthlink.net and check out my website, givingtreeforum.com.
Very good.
Well, thank you for another lovely show, and thank you to all our wonderful callers. Sorry we didn't get to everybody, but definitely try every time. So call back again here next week and every Friday. And as Mike said, follow us. Make sure you don't miss a single show. And of course, thank you to the Spirit. Yeah. Michael, take us out.
Oh, I just want to thank all of you for spending your Friday evening with us here at the Psychic Funhouse. Please remember to follow us on Blog Talk Radio, Apple, Amazon, Google, and Spotify platforms. Download our shows as well. And we thank you for listening, and we thank the guys for also being here with us and giving us information. We thank them as well. Thank you, everybody. Good night. and thanks for calling. See you next week. Bye-bye.